Welcome, everyone, to this special convocation. All convocations are special, as you know, but this one is especially special because it is the first convocation of the first graduating class of the Perimeter Scholars, this remarkable partnership between the Perimeter Institute and the University of Waterloo. So we celebrate a wonderful new path, and we look forward to many special convocations in the Mike Lazaridis Theater celebrating the relationship between the Perimeter Institute and the University of Waterloo. Northrop Frye, the eminent scholar of the last century, was at a convocation like this, and he said to the graduates, this is one of the four epic events in your life, the other three being your birth, your marriage, and your death. What's different about this is you're sufficiently compos mentis to know exactly what's going on, so please enjoy every minute of it, and I hope you will. To those in the audience, these 28 people who are graduating today are pioneers in the best sense. They are the first graduates of this combined program with the remarkable expertise of Perimeter and the teaching expertise of the University of Waterloo. And I cannot tell you how proud we are to have this moment and to think of the careers of these young people and young people to come who emerge from this program. Let me now call to the podium the individual who has led this brilliant initiative, Dr. Neil Turek, the director of the Perimeter Institute. Neil, please.
Thank you very much, David. Mr. Chancellor, members of convocation, graduates, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to celebrate the first year of Perimeter Scholars International, a program designed to bring new talent into the world of theoretical physics. A year and a half ago, we were struggling to imagine Psi. Now, we can't imagine life without it. And that's due to you guys. You've been a phenomenal class. You've changed the atmosphere in this institute. Just as in other walks of life, there's nothing like young people coming through, bringing a breath of fresh air, new ideas, asking questions, making their elders look silly as often as they can. And you've done that in truckloads. You were risk takers, all of you, in coming here to a town many of you probably never heard of before, to a new program. A new institute to trust us with helping you towards your future. You are risk takers. I want to encourage you to stay risk takers in whatever you do from now on. I hope you feel this risk was worth taking. You're many other things. You're friend makers. I know you had a wonderful party with Indian dancing, saw the photos on Facebook. And I think the way in which these students from 17 different countries have bonded together, helped each other, enjoyed each other's cultures and friendship is an amazing example. And I hope you stay friend makers. You're also bakers. I've never seen so many cakes baked by a physics class, but I hope you continue to bake cakes, and and I hope they get better and better, and bigger and bigger. Who are we? We're a strange community. Theoretical physicists are a very strange community. We're scribblers, we're doodlers. We fiddle around on blackboards. We have this very strange idea that through pure thought and making little mathematical models, we actually understand the universe. It's a peculiar thing. Happens to be true. And we are part of an incredible legacy. There is no stronger legacy in all of science than in theoretical physics. And it's a privilege for all of us to be part of that legacy. And so you have this talent. You are able to do theoretical physics. You've seen more theoretical physics this year than most people see, you know, in their entire graduate program or even in their lifetime. You've had so many lecturers, and I'm sure at times it's felt overwhelming. But over the next few years, I think you will find the ideas you've seen will keep coming back to you and hopefully be useful. Who are we? I sort of think of ourselves, I mean, in fact, one of our DRCs, Lenny Susskind, was interviewed a couple of days ago by the BBC, and people asked him, you know, who are you? What are you doing? And he said, I'm just a mechanic. Okay. And I think that captures a lot of it. I think of us as technicians of the mind. You know, we're the technical people. When your screen is a bit fuzzy, when reality doesn't really make any sense, you can't see the picture properly, it's our job to make the picture clearer. And not just for ourselves, but for everybody. The world relies on us. You know, when the picture is fuzzy, call in a theoretical physicist to try to tune it to make it a bit clearer. That's what we do. And we don't just do it for ourselves, we do it for everyone. So keep baking, keep friend making, and keep risk taking. And above all, come back and see us again and again and again. We want you back here. You are our ambassadors. You'll be going to London, to Germany, to Switzerland, to Harvard, to Google. I know somebody's already gone to Google. And everywhere you, and you'll be going back to Vietnam, to Cuba, all over South Africa, all over the world you'll be going, and everybody will be curious. And they'll say, what is that place? What is Psi? What did you do there? Is it any good? And so you represent us. And I hope you will encourage many, many more people to come here and to join in this enterprise, which is Perimeter Institute. And I hope this will be something you'll treasure for the rest of your lives. It's my privilege to introduce the person who made all of this possible. And not just with his generosity, but with his vision and his clarity of thinking and purpose. And he remains today our great guide in this venture.
Neil, I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you put all this on me. I couldn't have done it without the team here, and I couldn't have done it without everyone that supported us and has helped us make this a success. And quite frankly, you know, there's just no way we could have done this without the scientists believing that this place is special and that this is a place they want to come and participate. So I want to welcome everyone here. First of all, thank you, David, and thank you, Ken, for helping us put on an exquisite, no expense spared convocation. I understand this is the most expensive University of Waterloo convocation in its history per capita. So you should be feel very privileged. Obviously, this is a special time, and I couldn't have summed it up better than what Neil discuss with you today, and just how special this is. This is our first, one of many. But I wanted to just give you a little bit of an insight as to why this place is here, and why this opportunity presented itself to you, and how you are becoming part of that virtuous cycle going forward. So just a real quick story. When I came here as an engineering student in electrical engineering, I had an engineering professor by the name of Dr. Lynn Watt. Now, Dr. Lynn Watt had the privilege and the challenge of teaching a bunch of unruly engineers quantum mechanics and relativity theory in our second year. So he came in one day and he said, we're going to teach you relativity and quantum mechanics during the day, and that will be the accredited course that we have to teach you. But at night, I'm going to teach you an evening course that is voluntary, you don't have to come, where we're going to talk about the latest discoveries in quantum mechanics. What was interesting about it was, after the first day, the room was overflowing on the evening voluntary class, and of course, the day class didn't have very many students. What he talked about at the time was, this is 1980, he was starting to show us Alain Aspect's papers. He was experimentally verifying Bell's inequality using polarized light and lasers, first experiments of its kind. And he was putting the results on the board and trying to explain to us what was happening. Now, you have to understand that for us, we weren't classically trained to even understand it, but we understood the gist because he was so well at teaching it. And it absolutely inspired us. I mean, the whole idea seemed completely preposterous of what the experimental results were describing and predicting and drawing our attention to. So that was the moment that began the process that led to this institute. That's what got me excited in physics and understanding its important role. I went back and I started to understand how physics influenced everything in electrical engineering, everything, from the basic equations to electromagnetic field theory to generators, transformers, motors, to quantum mechanics affecting everything in terms of semiconductors, integrated circuits, computer circuits, the internet, lasers, stuff that was just becoming used in commercial use. All was happening at the time, and theoretical physics described it all, gave us the toolkit we needed to understand it and commercialize it and bring value back to mankind. So that was the precipitating moment for me leading to this point. What's interesting is when I talked to Dr. Lin Watt, he's a very humble gentleman, but very passionate about teaching, very passionate about what the physics means and how he could teach that whole understanding, that deep understanding to his students. What's interesting was he was the first person I called when I started forming the board for what became the Perimeter Institute board. Years later, we're sitting with the Scientific Advisory Council. These are eminent physicists from around the world. And we're having dinner and we're talking. And Lin starts talking about something. And he says, yeah, I remember Enrico Fermi saying that. And everyone turned around and said, you remember Enrico Fermi? Yes. He said, I was studying quantum mechanics under him. In Chicago, that's where he went for his postdoctoral degree. So he was inspired by one of the greats. He came here, and he inspired his students here. It led to this. These physicists have come to this grand experiment and have inspired you. Now you go out into the world and have a chance to inspire the next generation. So it's a great responsibility, but it's a great honor. And when you're out there, please, if there's ever a chance you have to promote Perimeter, promote the university, promote physics, please take every chance to promote the importance of physics and what's happening here in Waterloo. So thank you.
Would the members of the graduating class please rise? Mr. Chancellor, I present those scholars who have fulfilled the statutory requirements laid down by the Senate of the University that they may be admitted to their degrees. You may be seated. Thanks.
Mr. Chancellor, members of convocation, graduates, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know me, I'm John Berlinski. I'm the director of the Perimeter Scholars International School. This year's first class of Perimeter Scholars International has been through a unique, intense experience of training in theoretical physics. They've worked hard, lived in close quarters, and socialized together nonstop for the past 10 months. We had great expectations for this class, and all of those expectations have been met. Remarkably, in spite of the pressure cooker environment in which they were immersed, they got along well, supported each other, and seem to have had fun. It is an honor and a pleasure to introduce Imogen Abigail Wright, who has been elected valedictorian for the PSI class of 2010. Imogen came to PSI from Rhodes University in South Africa, where she studied maths, physics, and computer science before taking an honors degree in physics, which she completed with a first class average. Here at Perimeter, after completing all of her courses, she did research for her essay with Professor Robert Wickham of the University of Guelph on polymer dynamic field theory on graphics processing units. Putting her background in computer science and her training in field theory to good use. Her formal presentation and defense of this work were extremely impressive. Mr. Chancellor, I present Imogen Wright, the first valedictorian of Perimeter Scholars International, so that she may deliver her valedictory address.
Mr. Chancellor, members of convocation, fellow graduates, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. In the depths of Waterloo winter, I made an appointment with Neil Turok because I was having some doubts about my choice to pursue theoretical physics. You should understand how deep these doubts ran from the fact that I chose to harass Neil with them. He's definitely in the running for the title of busiest person on the planet. But true to form, he happily took the time to help me work through my post-adolescent existential crisis. I was essentially worried that what I was doing wasn't useful, that pondering the ultimate nature of reality was out of touch with problems on the human scale, and that bright people's talents were being wasted. Neil gave me some good advice. Follow your nose, do what you love, and let the usefulness follow. And true to form, he was right. I'm happy to say that, thanks to my fellow PSI students, I've gained a new perspective on the purpose of theoretical physics and fundamental thought in general. And at the risk of undercutting PI funding, it has very little to do with time machines and wormholes. PSI students come from 17 different countries on all six inhabited continents. We're undoubtedly the most diverse group of students ever recruited to a physics master's program. For a year, we've slept on the same corridor, eaten every meal together, worked and played together incessantly. We've developed a unique culture where insatiable curiosity and a healthy sense of the ridiculous are paramount. We've also brought to the table an attitude of genuine kindness, cooperation, and mutual respect that has allowed us to shoot for the moon, be wrong frequently, and happy and included always. The intense, crazy PSI experience has brought us together, forming what I suspect will be a lifelong bond. This is quite extraordinary. How is it that people from such diverse backgrounds could develop such a culture of unity? We live in a profoundly divided world, where ideological differences rule human relationships and create chasms that seem impossible to bridge. Many pairs of PSI students have cultural backgrounds that in other circumstances would make them enemies. And yet this special group of 28 people has been a home and a family for all of them. Some of the credit must go to the personalities involved, of course. I won't touch on the depth of character and kindness to be found in individual PSI students for fear of getting choked up and ruining the speech. But I do feel that something else, something bigger, is going on. Much has been made lately of cross-cultural understanding, of the attempt to educate the public about different cultures, giving them the tools to bridge divides. This is good. But I would like to make a case for a stronger focus on something else, on extracultural understanding, on science and philosophy. On the cultural level, the human level, PSI students are very different people. But for a year, we've been struggling side by side, not with human problems, but with the nature of the real world out there. Our commitment to physics, to discovering the laws of the universe, unites us against a common enemy of ignorance. When we place that at the center of our struggle, we turn the scientific quest into a universal language and a powerful uniting force. Human beings are the only groups of atoms we've ever found that can think about atoms. When we work side by side on the real world out there, the world uninfluenced by human thought and feeling, We are doing the very thing that makes us human. As we think about atoms, we're not Cameroonian or Jewish or Chinese or female, but human. And as we turn to look upwards and outwards, relying on each other to tackle difficult problems, we become so engrossed in the collaborative search that we barely hear the barriers of culture, race, language, and gender come crashing down. What PSI students will take on to their next endeavor, in most cases a PhD at a world-class institution, is a vision in miniature of what a world that prioritizes foundational thought could look like. This world has been full of hard work and research excellence, but also of delicious cookies, lively debates, and infectious laughter. The success of this first PSI year makes a case for something deeper than just a unique and challenging master's program. It makes a case for the importance of theoretical physics and for questioning the nature of the universe in general as an endeavor that breaks down barriers and gives us a vision of our common humanity. PSI students take with them a soul-deep memory that, as the only atoms that can think about atoms, what unites us really is stronger than what divides us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Imogen. Convocations are family occasions, and because this is the first class coming from 17 different countries, there are not a lot of family members in the audience. There are some, but there are family members scattered in countries all around the world. And at our regular convocations at this time, we ask our graduates to rise and have a round of applause for their family members who are here. And in this case, I would say stand and turn backwards to the families here, but also turn outwards to your families right around the world, because they have supported you on your way getting here and supported your way through, and it's appropriate to recognize them now. So why don't graduates just stand and just applaud those who are here and those who are away who've been with you all the time. We're a little tight for photographs, so what we'd ask you to do is there's an official photographer who will capture the perfect shot of each of our graduates coming and being presented to the Chancellor. Please sit down. We'd ask those of you with cameras to take your shots from your seats, but please don't come up to this area because we'll find the congestion pretty difficult, and there'll be an opportunity for pictures with the Chancellor and myself at the close of the proceedings. We now proceed to the conferring of degrees.
Mr. Chancellor, I present to you candidates for the degree Master of Science. Collins Ashu Ascosa. Prasanna Mukund Pukali. Charlotte De Vries. Ross Dina. Nima Dorod. Aaron Fenyus. Joseph Gerard Fitzgerald. Christopher Grenade. Joseph Hewlett. Chantal Lana Hutchison. Atsuko Kawakami. Eric Kramer. Bruno Lafloch. Changhong Li. Tuivin Pham. Heather Reeve Black. Henry Thomas Reich. Darren Smythe. Mario Schmiegel. Kyle Tate. Jonathan Toledo. Lockman Sui. Yostanis Vasquez Ponce. Christopher James Wood. Imogen Wright. Alexandre Yale. Yiming Zhang. Mr. Chancellor, I now ask you to confer degrees on those who were approved by Senate to receive degrees but could not be present today.
I confer the one degree in absentia.
We now come to the close of this special convocation, and let me say this to the graduates. Above the gates of my first college, there is an inscription from the Latin reads, "A part of you remains with me. A part of me remains with you." And that describes your relationship to this institute and to this university. It's an organic relationship. You are now its stewards. So as stewards, watch over it, provide that good, constructive, and wise advice over the years. And as the chancellor said, wherever you go, carry the banner of Perimeter Institute and the University of Waterloo with great pride. When we proceed out of this auditorium, there'll be an informal reception in the atrium just outside, and that's where graduates may join their families. Thank you.
Adjourned.